went out to fight against an invading army, they couldn't rely on mobile phones to message news of their victory or defeat to their homeland, could they? Can you imagine life without a mobile phone? They couldn't send a message by drone, radio transmitter, or even Morse code. No, in biblical times, they would dispatch a military courier, a man who would run as fast as his feet would travel to let his people know that the battle has ended in either victory or defeat. And if it was a defeat, they need to pack their things very quickly and run before the enemy gets there. Apparently, the modern use of the word marathon dates back to a courier, a dispatch runner in 490 BC, who, after running 40 kilometres, gave a message to the people of Athens that they, the Greeks, had defeated Persia at the Battle of Marathon. Apparently, he shouted something like, "Victory! Victory! Rejoice! We conquer! Victory! Victory! Rejoice! We conquer!" And then he fell down dead. He did! He fell down dead, as many of you, as you would, if you just run 40 kilometres. Who thinks they might die after 40 kilometres running? I know, some of you are thinking, why didn't he ride a horse? Okay, but horses weren't always available in ancient times, they were very expensive, and horses can't always go where men's feet can. Horses can't climb mountains, can they? They can't, but our feet can, with our hands as well. And so these brave soldier couriers, after engaging in arm-to-arm combat, would then have the most difficult task of running all the way home, which often involved climbing mountains to carry the news of victory or defeat. 700 years before Jesus walked this earth, the prophet Isaiah prophesied his coming by saying in Isaiah 52, verse 7, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who bring the good news. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news." Let us pray. Lord, help us to concentrate. Help us to focus on your word this morning. We want to be more like you, Jesus. We want you to be Lord of all in our lives. So God, take this congregation and have your way with us today. And we pray that there will be few distractions. Actually, we pray there'll be no distractions. Amen. I love to be the bearer of good news. Don't you? Yeah. I hate sharing bad news. In February 2002, I had to tell the sons of a very close friend that their father had just died. We were on our way to see him in hospital, and he passed away before we got there, and it was my unpleasant duty to tell the three young sons that their dad had passed away. It was horrific. I wouldn't want to repeat that experience ever again. I prefer to give good news. All Christians should prefer to give good news. Some people are so stuck in a rut that all they talk about is negative news. Do you know that people who are full of negativity have the ability to repel people? They do. They repel me. Why would anyone want to spend their time with people who make an effort to be depressing? They never say anything nice about anyone. Their cup isn't half empty. It's jolly well bone dry. I dismissed a man from our church a couple of years ago because of his cruel, negative behaviour towards people in this church. He seemed to take delight in being rude and complaining all the time. And one day he came to me after a Sunday morning service And he was laughing because he just said something really horrible to someone and he was delighting in their uncomfortable reaction. Well, that was the last straw for me. So I said, do you see those two front doors? He said, yes. Well, I want you to walk through them and never come back. You've been rude to me on numerous occasions and never once have I had an apology. That's okay. I forgive you for that. But you are not going to be rude any longer to any other member in this church. So go and don't come back. He really didn't expect that. He'd been rude all his life in churches. Interestingly, no one missed him. And that's very unusual for this church because we love people here, warts and all, and every time someone hasn't shown up for a couple of weeks, even if you're new, you will be missed, okay? I have people coming to me going, where's so-and-so? Where's such and such a person? No one missed this man. Funny how you never miss hurt. You don't miss bad news and hurt, do you, people? You don't. Give me some good news anytime over bad news. There's something really exciting about speaking out a message that's going to change people's feelings into joyful ones. I love it. I love making people feel happy with good news. For example, are you ready for some good news? Okay, listen to this. We had two powerful air conditioners installed under our church patio just over a week ago. And by the way, that will be completely finished by next week. The awnings are going in. When the electrician, Adam, came to fit them in, the air conditioners, he told me that the air conditioners he was about to install weren't the ones he originally ordered. These were much better than the ones he'd ordered because when he went to pick up the air conditioners, the seller of the air conditioners told him that they're out of the ones he'd ordered. So Adam was told that he needed to go and get more money from his client to have the better air conditioners. But Adam, the electrician, who isn't a Christian yet, we keep calling him back in, don't we, Vicky? We pray for him every time he comes in. He doesn't know it. He said, I'm not going to ask my client for more money. They're a church. You can give me the better ones for the same price as the cheaper ones. And they did. Adam's co-worker, who also isn't a Christian, told me it is what you'd call divine intervention. That's what he said. He did. Isn't that good news? On so many accounts there. I enjoyed telling you that one. Now listen, God is good. And he's full of good news for those who love him. God is good and he's full of good news for those who love him. James 1 verse 17, beautiful scripture. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. God is not moody. He doesn't change from one day to the next like some husbands can do. You know how it is, women. We've got to work them out all the time. I enjoyed saying that. Come on, girls, we deserve that. How many years have we listened to male pastors saying the opposite? Yeah. Yeah. James 1 verse 17, whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father. Jesus was indeed good and perfect. And he came down from God our Father. And he being good and perfect was full of good news. Funny enough, the word gospel means what? Good news! That's why the prophet Isaiah, when talking about the coming of Jesus, said, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Jesus came with beautiful feet 2,000 years ago. The world was desperately yearning for some good news. Everyone was a slave to Satan. The world had been in the grip of the evil one since the fall of man. Satan seemed to have the upper hand. He appeared to be winning the battle. But then came Jesus with some good news. He was God's courier. He was God's dispatch runner with a message for the whole world. Victory, victory, rejoice, I conquer. Hallelujah. That's good. Did you get it? That's what the one said at Athens, and I thought that we could say that that's what Jesus said, because he did. Jesus came with beautiful feet. 2,000 years ago. He walked to many places in the 3 years preceding his death. He walked to where the people were. And he told them God's good news of victory. His feet carried him to the lost, the lonely, the possessed, the sick, and the desperate souls who needed to hear from God, who needed to experience the freedom, the victory that God's good news brings. And then, for you and me, Jesus walked the road of suffering, carrying his cross, so that God's salvation became a reality to everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. His feet were indeed beautiful. That's why Mary washed them with her tears and dried them with her hair. They were so beautiful. His feet literally carried the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God, and whoever calls upon his name shall be saved. What does Jesus mean, people? Jesus means... So every time you say Jesus, you're saying, Savior, Savior, Savior. If you call the Savior, he saves you. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. It makes sense because he's a savior. Everyone. There's no distinction of person. Everyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. This offer is given to the whole world. But what use, brothers and sisters, is a wonderful salvation offered to the whole world if they never hear about it? We have a precious Savior who's been offered to the entire world. But how can the world believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can the world hear without someone preaching to them? And how can someone preach unless they are sent? That's a scripture, people. Listen now, church. God sends out his servants. They preach the good news of salvation. Sinners hear God's offer of life in Christ Jesus. Some of those who hear believe the message. Those who believe call on the name of the Lord. Those who call on the name of the Lord are saved. It's God's plan and will that people be saved. If God wills that people be saved, then he also wills that his servants evangelize. Is that not logical? This is the basis of the Christian missionary movement. God is the one who sends people. We, as Jesus believers, are the ones who are sent. All of us. We. What, me? Is she speaking to me? God sends me? No. See, I have the gift of counseling. I just help Christians with problems. I'm not called to evangelize. No. I have the gift of music. I just sing in church. I'm not called to evangelize. No. I have the gift of serving. I just work in the kitchen at the church. I'm not called to evangelize. No. I've just become a Christian. God surely can't expect me to tell anyone. Please don't tell me that God sends me. I'm not the one with beautiful feet he's talking about. Those with the gift of evangelism have beautiful feet, not me. Oh, really? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Turn with me to Ephesians 6, and I'm quickly coming to an end, so please stay with me. Ephesians 6, verse 14 to 15. I'm just reading a part of this. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. With your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Who is this scripture relating to? Who? Some Christians? All. It is a scripture written for all Christians. Everyone say, it is for me. We all put on the belt of truth. We all have the breastplate of righteousness. We all take up the shield of faith. We all have the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. See how we're likened to soldiers here? We're all dispatch soldiers. We're all courier soldiers. Because right there, in the middle of that well-known scripture, we are told to have our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Readiness for what? Readiness to share the gospel of peace. Yes, Jesus came with beautiful feet 2,000 years ago, but it is now our privilege and responsibility to go with beautiful feet to a lost and dying world. This is why we are called an evangelistic church. Some churches don't believe in evangelism, but I don't know how they get around this scripture. I don't. How beautiful are your feet, because they bring good news to the lost. The day you got saved, your feet became beautiful because they carry the message of the gospel. And you know what? This might seem like heresy to some, but you check the statement out in context of the scripture I'm preaching from. Those who carry the message of eternal life are valued equally with the Word of God. Those who carry the message of eternal life are valued equally with the Word of God. Those who carry the message of eternal life are valued equally with the Word of God. Listen to me now. The message of God is the best, but it amounts to nothing unless it is told. And those who tell it, those who carry it, those who spread it have beautiful feet. God loves their feet. The feet of Christians with the gospel message are beautiful because their movements betray the character of the message being brought. Today, in Afghanistan, there is a Christian undercover walking somewhere with the message of the gospel. Today in China, there are Christians tiptoeing, walking softly but urgently to convey the message of the cross in places the authorities have told them not to go. Today, in Cambodia, there are Christians walking on rubbish tips with the message of the gospel. Today, in downtown Perth, there are people walking amongst the drug addicts with the saving message of the gospel of the cross. Today, in the rugged outback regions of Australia, there are people carrying the message of the gospel to the Aboriginal people. Hallelujah! And we heard about that last week and we were so thoroughly blessed. Today, all over the world, there is the body of Jesus walking with the best news in the entire universe. News of peace, news of salvation, news that proclaims God reigns because of what Jesus has done. If you are a Christian today, I want you to stand right now. Stand. Don't stand if you're not. I don't expect you to, but if you are, you stand. And I want you, as you stand now, to look down at your feet. Look at your feet. And repeat after me. My feet are beautiful because they carry the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My feet are beautiful because they carry the message of the gospel and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in the natural, they may be smelly feet. They may look a little odd, like my daughter Jackie. She's got strange looking feet. She knows it. It's in the open. I don't care what your feet smell like or look like, because the message they carry is sweet. We need to share the gospel wherever those little feet carry us. At work, at home, at school, at uni, in the shopping centre, in McDonald's. Remember, it is your feet that carry the message of the gospel. Speak it out wherever you go. I was just thinking this week, what was one of the last things Jesus did with his disciples? He washed their feet. Now, I know some of you saying, well, that was a lesson in humility and a lesson in reading the word so that we are cleansed. Yes. But just maybe Jesus was also showing how important those disciples' feet were. He got down on his knees and washed those feet. And each foot that he washed, their feet led them to their death. Apart from John, we don't know fully what happened to John, but the other disciples died in horrific way. Why? Because of the message of the gospel that they carried with their feet. Their feet led them to their torture because of the message. So I sort of this week just got a picture of Jesus just loving on those disciples and washing their feet. And he would have known what the message of the gospel would have led them to. Such a beautiful message, such a good news message. Why would people do that to other people for such a beautiful message? People, we need to speak out the message and go where God tells us to go. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful message. And Lord, we thank you for our beautiful feet. It is an honor and a privilege to have your word in our hearts and on our tongue. Lord, this week I pray that we will speak your beautiful message to the people we see, no matter where, Lord. Lord, we're not going to tiptoe around people. We need to deliver the beautiful message of the gospel without shame, without fear, Lord. We need to speak it out, Father. So give us boldness this week. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, I pray. In your precious name, amen. You may be seated.